Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the 51st Psalm. It's a psalm of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson this morning again comes from the narrative about the man possessed by demons as recorded in Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the lake, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged Jesus, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned in the lake. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I continue exploring what meanings this narrative has for us over several weeks, today's sermon is going to be largely a dialogue sermon, and I thank Paul for being my partner in this. Before we get into the dialogue, let me note that Jesus wasn't just being polite when he asked for the demon's name before exorcising them. Naming demons is a first step in removing them. And not just naming them, but recognizing them for what they really are. Sometimes we can get so comfortable with our demons that we make peace with them. We figure a way to explain away the worst of their impact on us. So let's take a look at what that can mean in a person's life. Picture a man, call him Ralph. On this particular October evening, on the way home from work, Ralph finds his steps leading to the pastor's office of the church he attends Easter and Christmas, and he couldn't tell you why he was there. "Well, hello, Ralph. I haven't seen you in a while."
"Well, I like the Christmas carols and Easter trumpets, but the rest of the time, well, the services don't feed me. Same old Bible stories, same old people, praying nicely on Sunday, but acting just like everyone else Monday through Saturday. I'm not a hypocrite like that. And when I tried to get involved, people didn't cooperate with my ideas."
I think I hear a demon at work in you.
There's no such thing. Do you think I've been drawing chalk circles in my basement and chanting?
You think I'm referring to scaly creatures from the depths, complete with little pitchforks? Don't be silly.
So what do you mean?
Not monsters. I speak of those little lies, those boxes into which people try and stuff their own lies, those deceptive structures of illusion and pride. These lies can take possession of how we lead our lives. Your demons are the stories you told yourself so much they've become real. These demonic lies keep you from realizing all that God wills for your life. They keep you from appreciating the blessings you do have. Come on, Ralph, just like Jesus did with the man possessed by demons, let's name the demons within you.
Don't tell me it's Beetlejuice.
No, the first one I'd say is spiritual anorexia. You have an impression of the church and its faults and the type of person you are. And to maintain that impression, you stay away from or refuse the spiritual nourishment that could improve your life.
Well, maybe. Are we done?
No. Demon number two is closely related. Like the man from Gerasa, this demon forces you to dwell among the tombs. The tombs of yesterday possess you. Dwelling among the relics of the past, that the glories of yesterday will simply return post-COVID, that the way things used to be are the ways things will be. Loose that demon and see the past as the root of a growing future with God. Now, here comes demon number three. It's stronger than the demon of past tombs, because it feeds on the present. It turns purpose into purposelessness. Hear its name, if only. If only it were cooler, I'd be comfortable. If only I could get away, I could relax. If only food prices would drop. If only Amy was a better wife. If only the kids had turned out better. Only others weren't so afraid of COVID. Do you feel the clutches of this demon, Ralph? What a waste, because there is no way to change the past. You rob yourself of the here and now in favor of the if and then. Then you lose a chance to impact the future. You're quick to tell your kids that it's wishful thinking when they bring you their Christmas list. Well, it's one thing not to buy another smart game box, but it's far worse to coast idly in the clutches of if only.
Leave me alone. I don't need this.
Bear with me. I just heard an insidious demonic duo. The first is named It's Not a Problem. This demon keeps you from asking for the help you need. Even the Gerasene man approached Jesus. You also need the resources of grace for the disordered. You think not? What about your drinking? Look at your demon-induced blindness on it. You keep saying it's not a problem. You miss work, you waste your family's money, embarrass people at parties. The drinking alone is not the whole demon. Your refusal to see it as a problem is shredding your life as well as any clawed demon might. Seek the cure, Ralph. Ask for help. Don't be so independently blind that you avoid care, shut your family out, and deny the mercy of God in Jesus Christ.
I'm leaving.
Oh, be still. Let us loose the other half of the demonic duo. The other one is reasonably devious. It almost makes sense. Its name is It's Not My Problem. It's not my problem the days are so wearing I need a drink afterwards. It's not my problem the government isn't doing what I want. It's not my problem there are homeless. Ralph, the responsibility is always outside of you. And this little demon wraps you in a cocoon while there is a world crying out for help. This demon leads to self-centeredness, even as the world cries out for caring connections. Be gone, demon. Ralph, wake up to the power of a sincere person, reaching out to others, praying for the world, volunteering, changing parts of your life. because life is all around you. It's a demon that seeks to place all feeling of responsibility somewhere else. Learn to care again, Ralph.
You're not being fair to me.
Ah, now we hear the demon named It's Not Fair. It's not fair, so I can afford to be selfish and angry. That's the way you feel, isn't it, Ralph? Well, maybe life isn't fair all the time, but let me say two things. First, would you really want life to be simply fair? How many of the good things that have come to you did you honestly earn or fully deserve? Did you deserve your parents' love or earn it while you were a bundle of needs at birth? Did you totally earn the trust of your spouse before she said, I do? What did you do as a parent before your children were born that made you deserve the healthy and enjoyable people they are? If life were simply fair, we'd miss out on a lot of blessings. Second, life won't always be fair because there is still evil and sin in the world, and some people will take advantage of others. Fortunately, beyond fair, there is faith. Have faith that Christ still comes walking into lives hurt by brokenness, healing the heart and soul.
Look, I could make you shut up.
Ralph, there's still more demons to drive out, apparently. You want to make me shut up? Look closely, there's a demon behind those words. It's a demon that infested the good townspeople of Gerasa. They too blindly trusted force as a solution. Got a man possessed by demons? Bind him in chains, drive him out of the village. It is a demon's desire to use force when force aggravates rather than solves a problem. Think about your own home, Ralph. Do you settle for out-arguing and out-blustering your children? Binding them with chains of words? Beating them with the volume of your voice? Do you end arguments with Amy by saying, because I said so? At work, do you deal with subordinates simply saying, I'm in charge? Instead, reach out like Jesus did to love and to touch, not to chain and cast out.
I wouldn't be so angry if things were better at home.
Ah, yes, it could be better. Here's the last demon, Ralph, the one that can sneak up on us. Remember your thoughts about Amy and the kids, that they can be headaches and burdens? Your folly is now complete. You're trapped by the demon. It could be better. You dream of an ideal life sailing smoothly, full of obedient children, of figures yours and Amy's that do not sag. It could be better. The demon feeds on all the facts of daily life. Disappointments, the boredoms, the frustrations. But be warned, Ralph, when better becomes your main basis for judging others, especially your family, you will always be leaving. You're already leaving home and wife at times in your mind. Of course it might always be better. But the daily possibilities of forgiveness, blessing, joy, and understanding are grounded in the grace of Christ and are a sign that God is with us. God is here, and love is here. God is good now. Life and love are in your grasp now.
Are the demons gone?
Yes. Now go back to your family and your world. There you can bring steady witness to the power of your Lord.
Okay. You know, I think I'll see you on Sunday.
As Ralph named his demons, did any of them sound familiar to you? Amen.